Image fight. Victory will come only to the worthy. Are you? And welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
Can I just read the plot for the game before we even talk about it?
Please.
On a fateful day in 20XX, the Earth's moon exploded into four large fragments and a multitude of meteors. Aliens from afar had succeeded in destroying the West's moon base. One after another, mankind's other military-industrial space complexes were being lost. What mankind dreaded had come to pass. Scores of unidentified fighters were in the area. In addition, the moon's main computer, still intact after the explosion, had a strange vegetation coiled around it. Their trademark evil exploits being a dead giveaway, invaders from the Boondoggle Galaxy had arrived to take over the Earth. To counter these evil forces, leading scientists from all over the globe created the OF-1 fighter ship, Combat Pilots depart the Earth to fend off the invaders and earn everlasting glory. Now, I read all that because that is, for a shmup, that is a pretty detailed plot of what's going on. Like, it's not just four large fragments of the moon exploded. There's also a multitude of meteors. And it's not like just aliens. These aliens are from the Boondoggle Galaxy. And, you know, there's just like a bunch of fill-in information, yeah. Even the fighter ship. But so why would the game then start with like an incredibly lengthy simulation experience before you ever get to the actual fights?
That was pretty crazy. Now, I have two thoughts here. The first is, this whole story is just another example in a long line of them of, like, they literally do not care about the story. This was just made up on the spot, probably by the guy that, like, no, because it is in the game too at the end. But it just made up on the spot just to for it to be an excuse to play the game. And this one actually has proof in calling the galaxy the Boondoggle Galaxy. Like, that is literally just a word that means it's nonsense. The word is nonsense. It means nonsense. So that they're not even trying to hide it anymore. So that's just an annoyance to me. And it's something that I keep seeing in these old NES games. And it just annoys me. Now, okay, Mike, what you were saying.
Wait, so it did say the moon exploded from a multitude of meteors, right?
No.
Not into.
No. So it exploded into.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of like fragments.
So why did it explode?
Well, you know, the computer at the center of the moon, you know? It's just it's a Mad Lib. It's a Mad Lib of things that are vaguely sci-fi.
I don't think I even heard the rest of the story because I spent the whole time you were talking trying to figure out, wait, why did the moon explode? Did I miss that?
No, you know what the funny part is? So Sean is also hearing like bits and pieces of the story, and maybe I didn't do a great job with, you know, like reading it, but the moon's main computer is still intact after the explosion. It's not what caused the explosion.
No, I heard the whole thing. But okay. That's the thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. And to Joe's point, no, they didn't. They just say aliens succeeded in exploding the moon.
But thank God there was still some vegetation around to keep the... I know.
What is the goal of destroying the moon? Like, aren't you screwing up like the planet that you're probably trying to take over as well by blowing up the moon?
Probably.
It was definitely a surprise to me in the game, and maybe it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Like a twist, you know, like, oh, this whole time, you know, you were just training, and now it's like, this isn't a drill anymore. Like, they're here,
this
right?
This is no drill.
Yeah, and that's supposed to have, like, some weight, right? Like, oh my God, like, now it's real, but then it doesn't feel any different than the simulation, which is, like, kudos to the simulation team. For, you know, really, like, you know, they really, in that universe, like, they really, 20XX, they really got it down pat to what real life feels like, because the simulation and the real life levels might as well be the same damn thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like the simulation part is, like, longer than the rest of the
game. It is 3-2, right? Or maybe even longer than that? I think it's 3 sim levels, yeah, 2 real levels.
So what'd you think?
Yeah, I was going to get into it. Image Fight is Irem. Irem developed the game. They are also the developers of R-Type. R-Type is Irem's, like, equivalent to Gradius. I'm sure you guys have heard of R-Type, right?
We played it, didn't we?
On the NES?
Well, maybe I'm thinking of something with Z instead.
Yeah, we didn't play R-Type.
Section Z.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
You did throw me in for a loop there, though, Sean, because my next fact was this game came out 1 year after R-Type, but we haven't seen R-Type on the NES. So that would have been a little embarrassing had we have played R-Type on the NES. But
that's
we have not. And so I think
that's
kind of interesting that Image Fight is like, Irem says put this forward instead of their like main franchise. And so it borrows a lot of the qualities from R-Type, but since we haven't played R-Type, you know, what are those things? Well, the biggest thing is that the change here from every other shmup is that there are these pods that you collect, and you can have 3 of them. There are 2 different colors of those pods. There are red and blue. The red one changes directions based on the movement of the ship. So you have like kind of this mini pod ship next to your ship that first appears on the left, then the right, and then finally one behind you. And so if you move to the left, it now starts shooting in the left direction as well. The blue pod doesn't do that. It always points forward, and I think that's the only difference between these two pods.
That
right?
is the only difference, but I do think that it's like a fundamental difference that actually adds something new to this formula. One little correction: I think it's if you move to the left, it's going to shoot to the right, and vice versa. So I think it would be it would feel a little off if it was just like shooting in the direction you're moving. It did feel weird at first for it to be sort of inverted like that, but as it went on, it made more sense to me. But no, I think it's cool. Like I remember, you know, going as far back as like Commando or games that are sort of like shmups but not shmups, you know, where I was annoyed that you could only fire in the direction that you're moving, and that made just maneuvering very awkward and frustrating. And I may have mentioned it on an episode, or I may have just thought it in my brain, or I may not have thought it at all, but like just being able to do both is really nice.
Yeah, because there actually is strategy between, like, you wouldn't just take all the red pods, right? Even though it seems obvious that like, oh, well, they change based on the direction, so you know, like, it is kind of a good versatile strategy to have, like, a blue pod that just always shoots forward. So this way you have additional firepower directly in front of you. And then maybe, like, if your red pods are on the left and right, those can kind of take care of the enemies on the side.
In general, just, like, having something about the context of these, they feel less like power-ups, and they feel more like, oh, I'm actually building onto my ship. I think because you can actually kind of see them building onto your ship in that way. But so it does feel like you're kind of customizing your ship in that way, like with the different combinations of the blues and the reds.
Yeah, it's kind of like a loadout as opposed to just like a straight power-up. Because, they are additive. And like, so your main ship will always shoot just forward like a regular shmup. So you could just do all reds and just sort of orient yourself if you really wanted to focus all your fire forward. So there's like a lot of flexibility in how you play. And then there's also upgrades for like your main hull where you can have different projectiles, or just, I think there's one that just makes it a shield. So there's a lot of customization in here.
And the way it works, since you can only have 3 at a time, is that whatever you whenever you pick up the next pod, it overwrites the previous pod. So, you know, it does kind of become a game that if you are liking your loadout of, like I suggested, two reds on the side and a blue on your back, you now have to dodge all other pods in the game to make sure that you don't bust that loadout. Not that that's incredibly challenging. Remember, the whole game is dodging, so it's not the biggest deal, but definitely, you know, a strange choice when you consider that the other power-up in this game, the I think they're described as components in the manual, are things that cannot, like, be removed from the ship or interchanged with the other ones. Once you collect one of these components, which change how the main ship, the OF-1, how that shoots, it changes the direction, the rate of fire. Now you have to, like, get hit in order for that to come off.
That's what I was going to say. Like, maybe it's kind of counter to how they expected you to play this game, but I just would go and take chip damage against a wall. Not chip damage, it would be a hit. I would go hit a wall and then go back to the upgrade to change what I wanted it to be. So there's still some room for error there.
Yeah, but I actually, compared to some other ways we've seen this done, prefer this. Because other times, it's like, anytime you run into a power-up, it just switches out the power-up that you have. And while this is obviously far from the ideal way to do it, it's at least, like, it's your choice to decide, like, okay, yeah, I want to swap this out, so I'm going to lose this. Like, it's a weird way that you have to, like, take deliberate damage to do it, but at least it's not, like, I felt like, like I accidentally ran into this power-up and now I lost the power-up I wanted because I, you know, I'm being punished for getting a power-up.
That is still, a thing you have to be cognizant of with the pods, at least, as Mike was describing, but I appreciate that it wasn't for everything.
And then another change from other shmups is that the ship has four different levels of speed that you can switch between, and the way to do this is actually by just pressing the A button on your controller, and you adjust the speed from 1, 2, 3, 4, then back down to 3, 2, 1. This way you're not going from 1, 2, 3, 4, back all the way down to 1. You're kind of, able to fine-tune it a little bit as you slow down. This is a big change from the other means of speed that we've seen in games like Gradius, where you have to acquire the power-up and select to permanently boost your speed. Something that is good at a certain point and then kind of becomes detrimental to a shmup is, you know, being too fast and colliding with things that you didn't mean to, just because, just like adjusting the sensitivity of your mouse cursor on a computer can swing you over from, you know, like, one window to the other too quickly. That's what happens in a shmup. You wind up being able to move too fast. In this one, being able to control your speeds is a really neat thing. Was it worth, like, removing a whole button to do that? Sure, because I never felt like it should be doing anything else.
Well, I mean, it does several things, right? Like, you can then press that button, the same button that you use to change gears, which I also didn't really notice that big of a difference in the speed, but maybe that's just a me problem. But you also sort of do it kicks the back burner on. I think you can use that as sort of a short range.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, it can take off enemies on that regard too, of like the heat from your jets,
which is helpful, especially when you don't have any power ups, so you can't shoot behind yourself. And also, I don't know the rhyme or reason to it. Again, maybe I should have read the manual for this. Sometimes it'll launch your pods forward and just sort of take out whatever's in front of you.
Oh, that's A and B.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you press them both at the same time, that's your special.
Okay, cool.
Going back to the what you said about the kind of engine, you can shoot it out behind you. Did you guys find that useful ever? Like, I thought that was cool, but like, did you ever use it in like an actual practical situation? Or was it just...
No, because by then I had the red pod, right? Like, I was just using that to shoot from behind.
But at least
yeah,
it's
and like
there,
when I didn't have it, I was just like, you got to get really close in order to do it. Like at that point, it's gonna fly away if it's behind me.
I agree.
I was wrong on the number of simulation stages. It's 5.
I was going to point it out, but it seemed petty.
Now, what's crazy about that is that 5 simulation stages does feel like a lot. But did you know that there's actually a way to like fail those simulation stages and have to play an additional stage to get
yes,
to the
Mike,
to the real world?
I'm me. That was me.
So, Sean, what happens if you don't get above an average kill rate of 90%?
You have to do like it's called a penalty round, and it just forces you to do another level. Which is weird that they're making you play, that they're punishing you by giving you more of the game. And I guess it's like, it's relatively tough. Like, the game is tough. But it was, it's odd. It was on a black background. It was just sort of like the same 3 enemies for longer than I would have expected. But yeah, that's what it does to you.
And that's kind of funny because if, you know, if the twist of the game is that this whole thing was simulation, and I keep saying twist, but they're spelling it out for you that they are simulation stages inside the game. But I'm saying, like, if the turn, let's do that. If the turn was, oh no, now it's happening for real, right? Like, then the whole you're not ready because your kill rate was below 90% doesn't really hold any weight because it's just kind of like we need every man on deck, but like, don't send this guy, he's not ready, like. might as well send everybody, right? Like, it's only happening for real once, and if the aliens get close enough, they're gonna blow up the simulation where you're chilling anyway.
Now, in the canon of the lore, while you're training, have they already blown up the moon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, I think that's what you're now training. I'm saying absolutely, but I don't know. I don't know how far away the Boondoggle Galaxy is.
Yeah, I was gonna say you guys. I mean. Just even Sean asking a question about the lore, and then you with such confidence, I was like, man, I really got to get brush up on my lore for whatever this game is called.
Well what's funny
thing.
Is
like, you can just
the lore
make
was written. The lore was written by ChatGPT, so I might as well ask ChatGPT what the answer is. And so we've talked about like. The things that separate it apart from the other shmups, right? And even just very recently, we put a game called Dragon Spirit on the Essential Games list, and that was a shmup. And so this game is offering already like things that are a little bit different than what Dragon Spirit was offering. I'm not asking for you to contend this game against Dragon Spirit, but the only other thing left to talk about when it comes to a shmup is basically the level variety, like the enemies, and is the game fair in its difficulty? Sean, you seem to suggest that it is a difficult game. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, and this obviously can shift based on like what kind of upgrades you have. Like, there's a part near the end, at least in my playthroughs, where I got, like, homing missiles, and it made the whole game kind of trivial. But depending on if you don't have that, like, there are some bosses that, like, there's just one specific way to get to them. And there are some bosses that, there's a boss where it shoots out these sort of, like, circular, I don't know, domes at you, and it acts both as something that will hurt you, and it shields the boss. I wouldn't say that was entirely difficult, but it was frustrating, and it made it a much longer fight than it needed to be. I don't know. It throws a lot at you, and a lot of times you can get lost. Like, a problem that with shmups that we've seen in the past is that, like, these projectiles can get lost in the background, and you're just sort of caught in the middle. I'd say that it's somewhere in the middle in terms of how difficult the game is.
Joe, your thoughts on difficulty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I didn't think that it was, you know, it at least didn't do the crime that I see in a lot of other shmups. There, suddenly the screen becomes so incredibly saturated with projectiles that there's nowhere to move. Like, I always felt like it was fair in that sense. I don't know. I think it's hard to say because I am just generally bad at shmups. I thought it was a little more forgiving than other shmups that we've played overall. But you know, I didn't beat this game. It might have gotten a lot harder when I got further. But
I do have one more point.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of middle of the road.
Yeah, about there is one boss that I would not have beat if I didn't cheat. And there's one that shoots these lasers out at you, and then the lasers take wild, like, windy, like, it basically turns into a maze, and I guess maybe there's a pattern, so you know, like, what sector to just sort of park your ship, but there, like, if you're in the wrong spot, you can't dodge it. Like, you're just gonna get caught, and you're gonna get hit. So that was incredibly hard, for me, at least.
Yes, no, that is the moment in the game, I think, for me, where I was like, am I good at this? Like, I thought I was breezing by, and then all of a sudden, it was like, how do I find out, like, quick enough? Like, you know, so the boss shoots out a bunch of different lasers, and very quickly, they kind of zig and zag across the screen to a point where there is a hole where the player should be. But it's not like a hole where you can see it coming. You see it after the fact. You see it after it's done building it. You can't predict where, because of the way these lasers zig and zag, you can't predict where they're going to wind up. And so I have to think that it is a pattern that you learn and that it always goes the same way or something, because I can't imagine another way. That was the one where I just had to, you know, brute force through it in order to keep playing on. Another way to think about this game, though, is, you know, the NES does come with controller, or does have the option to have controllers with turbo on them. And while that is helpful in any shmup, in this game, it actually makes most of the fighting, like, trivial with the turbo. And I'm not sure how it differentiated from other shmups. Maybe it's just the rate at which it lets you fire. But it lets you fire so many bullets, a constant stream of them, that it kind of resembles, at least for the player's ship, a modern bullet hell where, like, you are just shooting everywhere.
It's a fire whatever hose.
Yeah, exactly. you are able to hit everything on screen. Nothing is to worry about. And provided you're just paying attention, you can complete almost every single stage with a 100% completion.
Man, I can only imagine, especially with the fact that you're shooting in all directions, you know, so many different directions so many times. You must just be, like, not a fire hose. You're like 20 fire hoses all, like, spinning around.
And there's, like, it's like a wall. It's like a wall between you, because, like, they just can't reach you by, you know, like, you're just spread. Your spread is so wide that you're shooting everything as they enter the screen. You know, now you don't have to play that way. And I'm not saying that's the preferred way, but it is just funny that it's not, like, not a cheat in the game necessarily. It's a cheat in the controller that actually works this time, right? Like, sometimes it just gives you a little bit of an advantage. This one trivializes the game. Do I think, without the turbo, that the game is as hard as most of the shmups we've had on the NES? I don't think that. And I don't know if it's just the rate of scroll. We always talk about this in shmups, that, like, if everything is moving too quickly and enemies are appearing too suddenly, that it just becomes difficult to manage what's going on. I did feel like in this game, as long as you were clearing out the enemies, you never really had more than four at a time. And four sounds like a lot, but trust me, it's not. They're just, in general, the bosses are what makes this game. And the actual enemies that you fight are really just a variety of shapes that shoot very slow projectiles at you and either are attached to walls or move glacially towards you. So it can become something that just, like, you know, surprises you with how quickly it gets hard, that, and that, you know, other shmups are guilty of that. But as an overall thing, I do think that provided you have three pods and a great component on you, you're gonna breeze through a lot of this game.
I mean, we've been kind of medium on this game, leaning positive maybe. But what did you guys think of, like, the sound, the audio? Did you notice it? Did you care about it? Did it give you any kind of feeling?
I sort of forgot that actually was, like, one of the first things I noticed, which is that there's no, like, there's not a, I don't know if there's, like, I wouldn't say there's no feedback, but, like, the feedback is not satisfying when you fire.
Yeah.
Or when you're, you know, like, I think the music is fine, but it sounds like it's, like, you know, it reminds me of, like a, something that's not mixed properly. Like, you know, the music is like very prominent and everything else feels kind of silent.
Yeah, the
it's not, but it feels
the sound, all the sound effects in this game are really lackluster. Like, anytime you shoot, it's just like this little pink, and it doesn't feel like, I mean, obviously you're very powerful. Like, we were talking about how godlike you could be with the turbo button and some good pods and equipment. But it doesn't sound like it. It's pretty weak sounding, and it's very rare for me in one of these games to point out the sound, so that just tells you how much it sort of stood out.
And all the sounds are, you know, like high-pitched, or like they're just not, there's no satisfaction to them. There's no like awesome explosions, and while the music might have been cool, and I do agree that sometimes like the way bosses enter on and stuff, like, you know, that they have cool music cues, it's a shame because the actual original arcade game does have great music and sound effects, and so it's just a result of the NES port being a little bare bones. I will say, I don't know, based on how the sound effects are, it's probably a blessing that, like, every time you shoot, it doesn't make a sound, because they probably would have chose a very annoying sound. But it did make me, like, wonder. I was like, wait, do all shmups do this, that, like, when you shoot, they don't make a sound? Like, it was weird that, like, your firing doesn't have, like, a,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, everything's made of, like, very soft felt until a bullet makes an impact and then just goes blink.
I mean, really, there should be no sound in space. So, you know, maybe it's getting closer to accuracy.
True.
On the sequels and spinoffs, Image Fight, as I mentioned, it did have an original arcade game, which got many ports, not just this NES port. One of the interesting ones, and I've talked about this console on our Patreon, patreon.com/nostalgia, on the FM Towns version of Image Fight. The FM Towns is a console,
yeah,
by the way, if you didn't know. But on the FM Towns version of Image Fight, the player controls the scrolling of the game by using the ship. So it's the same exact game otherwise, but you can, like, force
to
move up.
Forward.
Yeah, you can push the screen forward and backwards, keep in mind. And
so,
it does,
so
it doesn't,
a shmup,
it's not fluid. It is jank, right? Yes, but Joe, that's what I was thinking. It's like,
okay,
not really a shmup anymore. Like, now you have control,
yeah,
over,
so
like, when you'll see the enemies. Yeah.
That's wild.
So I just thought it was neat that it's literally, like, same layout, same number of stages. It's just that, for whatever reason, when they were programming the game, they were like, oh, we can't make this one auto-scroll. It probably wasn't that. It was probably the reverse. They were like, you know, we have the power to let the player control the scrolling. Ultimately, the reviews online seem to skew towards that it's just janky. It doesn't really work when you're in the game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a PC Engine version of the game that seemed like a great port. There is a Sega Saturn port of the game, which is very close to the arcade one, if not identical, except for on the left-hand side of the screen, constantly, there's this little, like, you know how, like, Super Mario Brothers 3 had that, like, one pixel line that just, like, always carried over from the other side of the screen?
But you wouldn't see that on a CRT, right?
You shouldn't. No, yeah, I don't think you so. Shouldn't. But I'm saying it for whatever reason, technology didn't get that far between Super Mario Brothers 3 and the Sega Saturn port of Image Fight because it had the same problem.
Well, you just reminded me of something, and sorry, jumping back to the original game here, but the screen populates or loads. That did anyone else notice that like top pixel like loads in like a inkjet printer? You know, it's like it's it goes from left to right really quickly.
I did not notice that.
Filling in. Does that make any sense to anyone?
When does that happen?
Like, instead of it being the whole game, like instead of it being like, okay, you're scrolling and like the next line of pixels appears, the next line of, it starts with like very quickly, the first pixel on the top left appears and then it moves across the right and it fills up like that, like really quickly.
Well, there's a lore explanation for that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
No, because at the beginning of the game, it, you know, the simulation turns on and it says image projector okay.
Oh yeah, so what the hell are they talking about? What is
it? That's the image projector scanning in the information.
At no point.
Now I'm actually curious, does it not do that once you go to a real mission?
Oh, I have no idea.
Honestly, I think what you're seeing is just the fact that you're playing this on a high def monitor. It wouldn't have been seen on a CRT due to overscan. It's just a quirk of a lot of NES games, but
yeah, you're probably right. I like the idea that it's built in deliberately.
I like that too. But you bring up another point. Like, did they ever explain what the hell an image projector is supposed to be?
I think that's because you're in the simulation, right?
Yeah, that's just the screen.
Yeah, but does it load up again at the end?
No. Actually, the image projector gives the idea that you're not even in the simulation. You're just like in one of those, like, you're in the cockpit of something and then they're just projecting it onto the screen in front of you and you're seeing the video game.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those like mirror projectors that teachers used to have, like the clear sheets that they would put on.
Oh, yeah, the overhead projector, yeah.
Problems on. Yeah, the overhead projector.
Image projector is also the only clue we get as to why this game might be called Image Fight. Because
yeah,
it's all just
mystery.
Images
being
projected.
Are there not images
projected
on the screen that are fighting?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Oh, it's a video game, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the Street Fighter actually wanted to be called Image Fight as well, but these guys got to it first. Also on the sequels and spinoff side, since that is the section we're in, Image Fight got a sequel, Image Fight 2, Operation Deep Striker, PC...
I thought you were going to say Boogaloo, sorry.
Yeah, that's funny. A PC Engine Super CD-ROM exclusive game, which is good luck finding that add-on and everything, especially because that's only in Japan. But Image Fight 2, I was like, oh, let me see what changed and everything, and apparently they added an expanded story to the game that we have here, including fully voiced animated cutscenes, new arsenal options, a whole new ship, and a remix soundtrack of the first game. When I loaded it up on YouTube and just skipped around, I was always in the animated cutscenes. It's like, it's insane how long these things go on for. And like, you jump ahead and it's like, oh, missed the gameplay. Like, I'm back in the cutscenes.
I think every word that you said in like reading the plot needed like probably 15 minutes of explanation for it to make sense. So
yeah, I believe at one point in the cutscene, the guy is saying, so wait, what exploded the moon? Okay, according to producer Hiroshi Iuchi, the creator of Radiant Silvergun, Image Fight was the main inspiration for Radiant Silvergun's design.
Cool, what's that?
Felt that you don't know Radiant Silvergun?
Do you?
Yeah, that's like one of like the that's like on the top list of shmups of all time. It's always up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Come on, Sean.
You can play that whenever you want.
God.
It's like Ikaruga. Ikaruga is always on the list too.
Radiant Garden.
What's that, Joe?
I said, how do you not know about Radiant Guns?
Radiant Garden.
I only know of Choaniki, so.
Radiant Garden.
It's called Radiant Silvergun for those of you interested, and it's a pretty good shmup. And the ship also makes an appearance in an R-Type game, R-Type Final, where basically the OF series, which is never referred to in-game but is referred to in manual, in this game, the OF-1, the OF-1 does appear in R-Type Final. Get a load of this, with the pods.
Hey.
So it's like a complete callback, not just like, hey, this ship looks like that ship from our other game. It's like, it even functions the same way.
Was this ship in Smash?
Wasn't in Smash, and probably never will be. That's too obscure. But believe it or not, the moon from this game is in Smash.
Wow.
Is this where the moon came from?
Eventually,
the moon's first appearance.
All roads lead to Smash Brothers, just like all roads on this podcast lead to the Essential Games List. Middle of the episode, Sean guessed that we were all middle about this game, or mid, as the kids say. You know, we couldn't decide, or at least we were trying to hide, whether we love it or hate it. And I think I just wound up liking it. And what's funny is that as I was playing it, I was like, okay, but is it really, like, worse than Dragon Spirit, a game I just voted on the Essential Games List? And I think what the reasons for why, like, Dragon Spirit got on the Essential Games List, I was like, Image Fight, without knowing it, took, like, the wrong lessons, went, like, the other way with the things I was so positive about with Dragon Spirit, and now with Image Fight, I'm just kind of like, I mean, yeah, they did it, but I wasn't, like, surprised, and, I mean, or I wasn't, like, excited about the changes they made to the shmup thing. The speed thing, for instance, right? It's like, there's a whole mechanic there, and to Sean's point, like, do you really feel like you're changing the gameplay on its head because you can adjust the level of speeds ever so slightly between a number of 1 and 4? The pods do feel great, but in a way, they are just a trick to feel like they've added a completely new gameplay element. There are other power-ups in other shmups that do what the pods do until you collect a new power-up and, once again, completely change the way of the game. I don't think power-ups do enough in Image Fight to be worthy of saying, like, oh, they change how a shmup works. They're just, again, another thing that, like, changes how you hit enemies. And in a genre where we have seen many different ways to take on enemies, I don't think any of the things they listed here were enough to throw it up to the Essential Games List. Definitely play it. I did enjoy the game, just didn't do anything so innovative that it's worth adding to the list. So it's a no for me. Sean?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that what I really liked about the power-up system in this game was that it made it feel like more components that you are that you are actually thoughtfully customizing, and not just like, oh, I picked this up and it's a big bullet. Like, it felt a little bit more thoughtful. But that said, like, I do like the game. I just think it's very flawed in a way that Dragon Spirit is not. Whether it's the pretty lackluster sound design, the kind of up and down difficulty between the levels themselves and the bosses that sometimes can be just it dicks. But I'd say, yeah, I like the game. It's not essential, though.
Joe.
Yeah, I don't think I'm voting this essential. I don't have, like, it's one of those instances that I've talked about before, too, where it's like, yeah, I don't have, like, it doesn't mean that I'm, like, I've got a bunch of really negative things to say about it. Just something about it didn't really stick out to me too much. Like, there were parts I thought it was pretty cool, the way they did the pods and the power-ups and everything. I thought that was neat. And I guess if you twist my arm, yeah, it's a play it, but, like, I don't know exactly what it is about this compared to Dragon Spirit, but, like, you know, it's no secret I'm not a shmup fan, and Dragon Spirit, like, subverted that for me and made me really like it. And this felt like, oh, this is pretty cool, but it's still a shmup, and I'm still just, like, you know, it felt a little slow. It felt, you know, I don't know. I'm saying negative things about it now. I don't need to, like, I just think that it It didn't blow my mind, so I'm going to say no.
All right, so it's three no's, which might be surprising after how hype we've been on shmups lately. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you guys are tired of us putting those things on the essential games list and then casually removing them later on. But that's how shmups are. They're fluid. You know, they go with whatever the games we're playing alongside at the time dictate. Because they're very easy, enjoyable, little bite-sized games. And if you want more bite-sized stuff, consider checking out patreon.com/nostalgia for our Nostalgia Bites show. Did you know every month you could get an additional episode? And that as of right now, there's over 25 of those available for you to listen to? That's right, we don't delete them after the month. By the longer you wait to
subscribe...
How many
specifically? Just say
26.
Okay. 26. Thank you.
Over 25 sounds so much better, Sean, than 26.
Yeah, well, I can't believe it was exactly one over 25.
Yeah. Can you believe that we have over 1 trillion seconds of nostalgia recorded for you to listen to?
I don't believe that.
I don't believe
yeah,
that.
I actually don't. I don't know how many. I way overshot, right, how many seconds that would be. Disregard. Anyway, the important thing is that whether you go to that Nostalgia Bites on Patreon or whether you just stay here, know that we will always be delivering content to both, and that if you're enjoying what you see here, you're probably going to enjoy what you saw over there. Next week, we have Jeopardy 25th Anniversary Edition, where we will review Jeopardy for what it feels like the fourth, but probably final time.
Yeah, really. I think I skipped a couple of them, too, and it still feels like a lot.
Yeah, you actually have to make up
also
ground on the other ones that you missed on next week's episode.
Well, yeah, I'll have to answer more questions. And speaking of trivia questions, a little trivia for you. Apparently, just Googled it. 1 trillion seconds is slightly over 31,688 years.
1 trillion?
So we'll get there. 1 trillion.
Whoa.